Friends, welcome to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Vic at VWeb and Jack at Jack Not John. Today, we are going to be talking about the MLB ALCS and NLCS, the playoffs. They're moving and grooving. Some college football, week seven. What else are we talking about today? Is that it?
And whatever comes about through this conversation.
Whatever comes about naturally.
Yeah, naturally.
Those are our sports for today.
It was a light week.
A light week.
But jam-packed college football.
We should also talk a little Simone Biles at some point, because I don't know if you saw, she broke the record for, was it the record for most medals ever?
No. I think it was just a really swag picture of her with five medals.
Oh, is that it? She didn't break anything?
I could be wrong.
I don't know. I wait for the Olympics to get heavily invested in gymnastics.
Wow, shame on you.
I saw something.
They just named... what's it called? Like an act? What's it, a dance?
Sure. Routine.
Thank you. Is it a routine?
Oh, they named something
after
her?
They named a move after her. And I read somewhere that gymnastics coaches are advising that people don't try it. It's like super dangerous.
So it's like in Blades of Glory. What's that move called, Vic? You got to remember.
The triple axle.
That's like a real move.
I thought there was something. It's nice. The triple something.
That's all I was going to.
You wait for the Olympics. I know you're putting in some.
Look, I do some research. I watch some film, but for the most part, the medal count for me doesn't matter until you're in the Olympics.
You watch a shit.
I'm going by medals here.
You were watching all weekend.
I was going to say you were in Stowe this weekend, Joe.
I was. Drove out there alone, real early, 7-hour drive there and back.
Are you okay? Sounds depressing.
My legs are a little tight. Yeah. I'm getting like very inflated legs. Like they're very swollen.
And
you guys know, on the way here, my legs fell asleep. So Victor graciously carried me. Mm. Thank you, Victor.
That's why Victor has this big limp.
Vic, pass me the water, please. Vic, I can't move my arms.
You just got to feel around for it.
There's nothing better than there's nothing better than you making that motion. No one can see it. This is a podcast.
It's me extending my arms. But my arms are working. It's the legs that we got to worry about. I was there. It went for a bar mitzvah. Really enjoyed it. Great weather. It's
Mazel tov.
The leaves are incredible.
Vermont leaves?
That's what we call the foliage in this time of the year.
No, it was this weekend. It's like people, I met people from Texas at the farmer's market there to see the leaves.
They came from Texas to see the Canadian leaves.
It's not like, hey, I met a guy from Texas.
I was like, that's great.
It's a good Jack.
That is fantastic. Speaking of Texas, I don't know if you guys saw, it was at that Dallas... Cowboys Jets game.
Yeah, the Jets game.
It was a serious barn burner.
It was the Jets game.
Holy smokes, is that a crazy game?
Sam Darnold. I mean, this team's going 11-5.
I don't want to talk too much about it, but yeah, Sam Darnold. But it's a little bit of Jason Garrett. That guy's got to be on the hot seat right now. He can't coach for shit.
And I mean, what's the quarterback coach again that we love?
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore. I mean, they've been pretty terrible as of late, the last three games.
It's amazing. The Jets have bad corners, so naturally all they do is run up the middle. Why run at the corners?
This Jets team is great.
Unbelievable. Well, starting with the MLB NLCS, the Nats take the first two games in St. Louis, return to Washington for game three. 2-0 lead. Tonight, Strasburg on the mound. Do we think that the Cardinals come back? Is this series completely kaput? Victor, you look like you're ready to jump in.
My only problem with them is that they haven't shown anything. You've one run across two games. Normally, you think a team can crawl out of a 2-0 hole once you've seen the bats sort of fly. Granted, you know, this happened with the Yankees and the Astros 2 years ago, where the Yankees went down 2-0. But here's the problem. They're now going to Washington on the road for three straight games, down 2-0. And you mentioned Strasburg, who's just been lights out, as he always is. And even when he gives up a run, he still lights out. And just when you think you have him, you really don't. It's tough for me to say they have a shot with a straight face, because how can you drop two games at home, then travel and pick up that win? I just don't know where you're supposed to find the momentum. Now you have Strasburg, you'll have Scherzer in game four. I mean, we may be looking at a good old-fashioned sweep here.
Get your brooms ready.
Or actually, maybe I have that wrong. Maybe it would be Sanchez. It was Sanchez?
No, Sanchez was the other night.
Sanchez pitched a gem. By the way, they both had no hitters in, like, through seven, the two starting pitchers. Yeah.
No, I'm wrong. I was right in correcting myself.
Yeah.
Sanchez went
You're
game
stupid.
One. Scherzer went game two. You have Strasburg three. Then you'd have
Then Sanchez, you might get Scherzer again. I mean, they love to just plug and play.
If they win tonight, then you're up 3-0. And then even if you lose to Sanchez, you don't want to screw up Scherzer's arm, although once it's playoffs, all bets are off.
They both went through such taxing series. Like, I mean, the Cardinals did absolutely everything that they could to even get here, scored 13 runs. I think that they were just, I don't know, sometimes you go through slumps, it's at the wrong time, but I don't know if I'd call, you hear the planters? Pass me the planters, you know? They heard him. We're having a couple of peanuts.
We're talking baseball, we got some snacks.
Beer here.
We need to be able to have some peanuts.
Finally, it's part of our rider.
Who even has peanuts at a game anymore?
Me. I have Cracker Jacks.
No, I'm talking the good old
fashioned. I just buy them and I dump them on the floor.
The good old fashioned peanuts.
I buy them to buy them and
it's unbelievable.
It
who has ever not dropped half a container of peanuts on the floor when you buy them?
When they give you the bag, you have to break open the shells by yourself. They're just begging for you to
That's what the St. Louis fans need. They need some Cracker Jacks.
Oh, what a delicious, delicious snack.
I don't even know what that means. Why do they need Cracker Jacks?
I don't know.
I'm struggling with the cheddar cheese. But keep going. Yeah, I think the Nats, I did catch, I was limited this weekend, all right, fellas? So cut me some slack. But I did catch Annabelle?
It's Annabelle Sanchez. If you listen to that one game, for whatever reason, the announcer put such an emphasis on a ball.
Yeah,
It's Annabelle.
Annabelle. She pitched a great. She pitched an absolute gem. They said that he's like the most enthusiastic pitcher on the mound. I couldn't understand what they were saying about Annabelle, saying she like contorts on the mound in a way that most people wouldn't under pressure. I mean, it's fun to watch. She looked great up there, and she pitched an absolute gem. But I agree. I think, you know, the Cards showed the experience and the resilience in the divisional series, and I just think they ran into a team with almost just as much experience in the Nats. And now you got Strasburg. It's like a brick wall.
Yeah, you have a lot of vets on that Cardinals team. You got a lot of veteran bats in particular. And I don't know. I mean, this is obviously the game. Mm-hmm. If they have any shot, They're gonna take this one.
Definitely.
No. I don't want them. Can you fucking put down the peanuts? Enough with the peanuts.
That actually wasn't Planters brand. I believe that was.
That was Kirkland.
It's actually a brand I've never heard of. What are we?
Kirkland. Shout out to Costco.
This episode is sponsored by Kirkland.
And I just dropped some in the bowl there. I think it's called Cars. Cars, K-A-R-S. We never heard of you. We like your nuts.
Yeah, they do.
Just leave the LaCroix on the table.
No, just keep going. I need it. Now.
Okay, drink, and then we'll keep
because
going.
Because the Cars Planters mix is like...
And for the record,
and with the legs.
It's pronounced LaCroix.
By the way.
I know. It's not really a French company. They're from the United States.
They're from Wisconsin.
LaCroix.
By the way, I told you this.
Yeah.
Did you?
And
you
just
haven't telling
everyone. You held on to it like it's yours.
I've been telling everyone.
By the way, you want to know how to find it? Just turn your can around.
It says it on the back. Wisconsin Zone.
It's no secret. I think they never thought this would blow up as if they're a French company, and they're loving it. They've been writing Wisconsin brand, Wisconsin Zone.
I'm just gonna keep sounding like
a snob. Yeah, people just made it up.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, LaCroix.
And I'll continue to be snobby and correcting people, trying to pretend like I'm French.
LaCroix.
You do have some French lineage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if there's one shot at winning, I think it's tonight. Flaherty is on the mound.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty.
He was unreal. I think he was the best pitcher in baseball the second half of the year. He's been fine in the playoffs. 1-1, I think, with a 2-something ERA. But obviously, it's tonight or...
That's it.
Say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the fence, the pond... What do we call that?
Well, it's really the other side. I believe it would be the Mason-Dixon line if we really want to get there.
On the other side of the Mason-Dixon line... Yeah, the Yankees and the Astros are playing one hell of a series.
Really wouldn't be because one's north. And so, look,
exactly.
One's east of the Mississippi, one's west. Maybe
what is it, the Union and the Confederacy?
No. Well, yeah,
the Union,
but that was way back.
I know, but
so
was the Mason
north, south, in Mississippi.
No, Mason-Dixon is east-west, I thought.
No. The line itself goes from east to west.
Somewhere else in the United States.
Between New York and Texas.
The Yankees are playing the Astros, and boy, do we have a series. The Yankees came out... firing 7-0. What a dominating performance. They went up 1-0 in game two, then it was 1-1, then 2-1, then 2-2, and fucking blew it. And now we have a 1-1 series, incredibly different going back to Yankee Stadium. If the Yankees were up 2-0 going home, this would be just like the NLCS, and we'd be talking about how the Yankees could sweep.
Would you be as confident, though?
What?
If it was 2-0 in the Yankees series as we are? Like, this was a consensus, you know, the Nats are going to take it. Would you be as confident if it were two? Like, this is still the Astros. The Astros have something that, I mean, the pitching that they have is incredible. Yeah, we've gone through two of the three great pitchers, but I'm just saying the Astros can't be taken lightly.
Yeah, if this was 2-0, I mean, you have to assume that the series is over, going back to New York with three games at home. Now it is completely anyone's game. Mm-hmm. It looked to me, I don't know if you guys watched the end of that game last night, but it looked to me like the Yankees weirdly didn't care if they won or not based on their pitching choices. They were like, oh, we've done such a poor job of managing our rotation that we're going to let Chapman pitch the ninth, but then bring in CeCe and then bring in Loaiza.
Is that what happened? Yeah.
And it's just, like, I get it, Chapman, like, you don't want to overwork him, but you're in a 2-2 game. The guy was completely unhittable, and then you put in, I think Loaiza's a rookie.
Yeah, Loaiza.
Loaiza?
I will tell you something. I believe that, and I can't speculate to the mind of Aaron Boone, but using nine pitchers, I think what would have happened is if the Yankees had somehow squeaked off a run in the top of the 10th, then he would have left Chapman in for the save opportunity. Or I guess at that point, it really would have been the win.
Mm-hmm.
Once they didn't get the run in the top of the 10th, he didn't want to leave him out there for whatever reason. I mean, look, Mariano Rivera's done it back in the day, but that was Mariano Rivera. I mean, I remember days where Rivera's pitched three innings, and it wasn't even a playoff game. It sort of, I'm not really sure what he was thinking. The matchups were working. When he did bring in CeCe, he got that one out. He brought in Loaiza, he walked two guys, pulled him out. He put in Chad Green. He could have made the argument. You could have left Green in a little bit longer. I think that feeling that you're talking about, you see the Yankees at the end, I think it was more of a business attitude. It was, okay, we got game one. It's we came here, our business was to get one game in Houston because we didn't do it 2 years ago, and that was the killer. We couldn't win one game on the road. I think after you got game one, it was, if we can get game two, the miracle that we were just talking about, you come back here with three games, oh my goodness. But losing, and losing in the 11th inning. So game one, you have the 7-0, the dominating performance, the runs start coming off. Tanaka looks incredible. I think it was more of like a business attitude. We got the one game. Let's get on the plane. Let's get back to New York.
Yeah, but it just was so weird. Hap is not a closer. You put in Hap in the 11th inning. Did they lose? They lost in the bottom of the 11th.
Yeah. Bottom of the 11th.
And I think what's even worse is you gave so much confidence to a guy that was basically dead. Carlos Correa was injured the entire year. He was not the same guy. He is the Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees, is Carlos Correa to the Astros.
Have you seen Giancarlo Stanton's girlfriend?
Smoke?
Smoke.
Wow.
Smoke. I don't know if Correa is packing that much heat.
By the way, I'm sure he is. Actually, I mean, I have no idea.
It's Giancarlo Stanton.
No, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is one hell of a guy.
What was it? What was his old name? Mike. It's Mike.
It's Mike Stanton.
That's Mike.
Yeah, that was a great marketing move. Giancarlo, you're going to make tons of money. Mike.
Go to New York.
By putting in Hap and giving up that home run to Correa, you awoke a beast that was tamed. Correa was batting .250. He had less home runs this year than he's had in any other year.
But he did have the double earlier in the night that got them the 1-0. And look, you take the experience factor in. The guy's been with the team the last 2 years. All these guys, these Astros, up and down, 1-9. Maybe a couple guys have changed. I don't think they have the exact same roster. But for the most part, this Houston team is, you know, it's the same core. I mean, you got guys like Altuve. I mean, we see this every time. We're like, this guy's 5'7". How does he get up there and do it?
Because his bat is fucking bigger than his body.
He's Pablo Sanchez. He's the modern-day Pablo Sanchez.
It's really unbelievable. He's just so short. His bat is so long.
The box is so small. I mean, it's tough to pitch to the guy.
And he's so far to
back
the side.
Back,
it's not
in the stands.
I was going to say back, but it's not back. It's to the
left. Out?
Out. That's the word.
Because the bat's so big.
Because the bat is so big.
That might be what it is.
Yeah, otherwise it would hit off the heel.
You're right.
If he stood so close.
He wouldn't be too good.
He wouldn't be too good. But quick picks. So we said the Nats, we think that they win this series.
We think the Nats, and I
have to believe that the Yankees are winning.
I mean, what we saw from Glaber in game one, when the Yankees bat was coming around, I mean, that's unstoppable. Game two is just a totally different game, and it played into the Astros pitching. And Boone just made a couple boneheaded decisions. And I agree. He put in Chapman maybe a little too early. Maybe Vic's right with getting inside the mind of Aaron Boone and thinking they'd throw Chapman back out there for the win.
I just, like, I agree. Like, why didn't they leave him in if he was doing well? I guess it's sort of because if you leave him in...
Is it saving? Is it, I mean, no, it wouldn't he be might be thinking, worst thing we lose.
Yeah, that could be it because there is only one day off. It's not like you have a couple days. And then think about it, there's three games in a row.
Yeah.
If there's three save opportunities coming up in the next three games, which... Let's pray to God there are, because that means the Yankees will be winning.
But exactly, what if there aren't? Like, you got to take the
But look, he's playing a risky game, and look, nine pitchers. I think Astros use six pitchers. We use nine.
It's the modern day MLB. Everyone's the Royals now of 2016.
I was going to say, but it's not. We're not the Rays. This is not what we've been doing the whole year. All of a sudden, you just do this weird thing that fucks with your whole bullpen, and then you have happened the 11th, and that's why we lose.
It's also because the game one, Tanaka was able to go, I believe it was seven innings, or at least six and two-thirds.
He went six innings, 50
right.
pitches. There's been questionable calls with this rotation the whole series.
Look, he is playing a risky game. I don't doubt it. I mean, I can't remember last time someone used nine pitchers, but, you know, because they didn't use as many guys the day before, and you're going to have the day off, and you really wanted to steal the game two to be up 2-0, maybe he... just got a little ahead of himself and played too many matchups. But yeah, Jack Labor Torres, we can't not recognize the guy's 22
five
years
RBIs.
Old. He's 22 years old. He's going to be 23. I think it's in November, December. Five RBIs, game one. Just unbelievable. Such nice pieces of hitting. He was a triple away from the cycle. And then Stanton finally gets the home run, but then he's out for game two. So, you know, but then you get Judge picking up the slack. I think you got a bunch of guys picking up the slack. And look, if they won three games in a row 2 years ago, maybe they can do it again this year.
I agree, but now let's not discount Garrett Cole. I mean, last time out against the Rays, eight innings. Game before that,
15
seven strikeouts. and two-thirds. I mean, the guy's been a horse.
There's no discounting him. He is. It's historic. Yeah. 25 strikeouts in two games, I think, is our record.
It was that 15 strikeout
15
game, right?
15 followed by 10.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So I'm nervous, but it's gonna be a great one tomorrow night.
Yeah, but that's exactly
where
are
we watching
game two
in our respective beds.
Yeah, I'll be watching
yeah,
from home.
Yeah, well, the first game's at 4 p.m. So
is that true?
Ben will be home.
Because they are giving the Cardinals the marquee matchup.
By the way, that's bullshit.
It's at 4 p.m. in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Great, I'll be there. Anybody want to come with me?
Wow.
Working.
Why not?
Must be nice.
Why not?
Must be nice.
Why not?
That's rich tomorrow. Boy.
If you make room in that box for me, I could squeeze over and pretend I'm sick.
No, tomorrow. He's bringing the hair cutter. No room.
I should.
No room.
Boost us season. College football, did you guys get around to watching it this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Alabama, Clemson, and Wisconsin absolutely cruised.
Love Wisconsin.
LSU and Oklahoma, those were some pretty tight, great games.
Great game.
Penn State, Notre Dame, those were also, I don't know if I'd call Penn State a great game, but.
Well,
it actually was.
It's very reminiscent of the 10-3 win over Michigan. When Michigan beat
Iowa,
them.
Yeah.
Iowa's game.
That's Iowa's game. It's ground and pound.
We figured out who
that's
Iowa is.
Yeah, without doing any research.
They have great. By the way, no, we were
all tight ends.
No, but they don't even have a tight end. They have no one.
But
they
it's supposed
score.
To be tight end you. So, yeah, they got no tight ends. They got nobody throwing the ball. They've got that great. We say it every time. The great tradition at waving to the Children's Hospital.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank
don't
God
discount
for that.
That.
No, not at all. But yeah, they clearly have no offense.
This this was the week of college football. Like, we've been waiting. When is one of the floodgates going to open? This was it. I mean, you have Georgia go down. As a 20, I think it was a 27-point favorite. I mean, finally, we got it. Because Georgia, write them off. At home, I don't care if it's double overtime, write them off. They're done. Okay?
Right.
This is LSU and Alabama for
and
the
besides,
SEC.
Besides Florida, the only top 10 team to lose this week.
You think Auburn?
No, I'm just saying it's not just LSU and Alabama. We can't forget about Ohio State just
for
because
the
they
SEC.
Were on a for the SEC, yes. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. It's there. No,
no
yeah.
that was
you got to write
bad
off.
In there, huh?
Yeah, no, yeah. You got to write off Georgia. That was
Jake Fromm is just a good college quarterback, and he threw some terrible passes. I mean, he's not. What's this pro hype? I don't see it.
He threw terrible passes, but also the first possession of overtime, he hit his guy right in the hands, right at the marker. It popped out, and they picked it. So you got to fucking catch the ball. It's Fromm, but it's also Georgia's receivers need to do their part. You're at home. You're trying to squeak one out.
Mm-hmm.
And Blankenship, is that his name?
Blankenship. I think his name's Rodrigo Blankenship.
He is supposed
Hot
to
Rod.
Be the second
Hot
coming
Rod.
Of...
Hot Rod.
Justin
is
Tucker.
That his name?
Yeah.
That's his nickname
yeah.
with the little
Hot
glasses.
Rod.
I mean, I don't...
Little glasses. Those are huge, dude.
The rec spec shades of James
The guy's wearing
Worthy.
Telescopes on his face.
But, I don't want to focus so much on the teams that lost in the top 10. I would sort of say that... You know, that Penn State win, you know, we're saying who's Iowa, But, you know, Saturday night, you got all the momentum. You got crowds.
Who's Iowa?
The blackout. Everyone's wearing black T-shirts. It's very hard to win in these environments. And, you know, I think I sort of made a boneheaded Iowa upset pick. But I said it because, look, they're coming back after Michigan. They're going to be upset. They're going to play them hard.
Pick?
You guys were both on the Penn State train.
Yep.
I said Iowa.
Clifford!
The doctor.
My guy.
Who Dr. Clifford.
That was a real Heisman performance by him.
I think that was a big win. And look, it was big enough that Penn State is now number 7 overall. So clearly the AP thinks that was the most impressive win. I think the LSU-Oklahoma games we also can't really discount. I mean, that was a big one for me, for LSU being able to not let Florida come in. So, I don't know which game you liked the best. I mean, it seems to me... It's you choose between Penn State, Notre Dame, LSU, Oklahoma. I don't know which one.
How many are you going to pick?
Like. No, I'm saying in terms of the impressive wins, I think those are on the board.
Yeah,
I'm going with the Penn State one. For me, that was the most impressive.
Can I go with a team that lost that was most impressive?
Definitely.
To me? I saw so much out of Florida that I didn't expect to see. They won by 14, but not only is Trask an awesome option quarterback, he can run, he can throw. They put up points that I did not think that they could put up. And if
it was closer than the score, because they were up a touchdown in like the late third.
Yeah, it just further solidifies Joe Burrow for Heisman.
Oh my God,
that guy is unbelievable. But
the efficiency as well.
Florida can score, and if they can score, and you catch them at home, you're gonna lose. Like I think that if it was, I don't know, if this game happened to have been in Florida, Florida probably takes this game. I think that. Being in Death Valley is such an incredible advantage. I don't know. Florida just really impressed me this week in a loss.
Yeah, I agree. They were impressive, and they kind of lost it a little at the end, and then there was the interception in the end zone to really solidify it for LSU. But I think we got to talk about this Alabama win. I mean, you go into Texas A&M, College Station, really tough place to play. Yeah, Texas A&M has not been great. We've been talking about that. They had not been great. But to go in there and put up 47 points, first week you're the number one, I mean, that's the statement win. You go in there and you beat the shit out of Texas A&M.
And Texas A&M played them well. They played them tough.
And,
they hung
and,
in there. And they forced Tua's first interception of the season. So if you can do that, you deserve some kind of credit.
Definitely, but you still rebound. It's not like Tua threw the interception and the floodgates opened on them.
Correct.
Like it's not like he went out and threw three interceptions like
point,
my boy Jaren Williams.
At that point, I believe, oh God. At that point, I believe it was 24-10. So you could argue that huge difference of whether it's 31-10
and they rebounded.
17.
And it felt like a little more of like that Alabama defense that we're used to. Mm-hmm. They held Texas A&M only to 15 points in the second half. Usually the score begins to rile up, I guess.
Right,
the
way they did the week before to Mississippi.
And I think it's a statement win. You know, it was a little controversial, them getting the nod to be the number one. And they spanked a very decent, solid Texas A&M team.
They finally covered.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this Alabama team is usually like the Patriots. And not to say that covering means so much, because obviously winning is the most important. But in college, it's so important that you beat teams by a big margin, because it comes down to that. And Alabama, just like the Pats, always covers. You're like, I want to win some money, I'm going to take Alabama. And their defense has been so soft and letting up late touchdowns, and they just were on cruise control. They were getting to Mond. They were, like, I just saw amazing defense across the board.
Another thing from that game, remember the kid, Devontae Smith, who had 11 receptions and five touchdowns?
What do you have this week? Nothing?
I mean, came back 7 receptions, 99 yards, and a score.
Wow.
This is a pro.
Yeah, wow.
That's high volume in college.
I mean, that's Tua. Tua is
awesome.
He is really unbelievable. So the new top 25 came out. Who are we surprised that moved up? And who do we think? But,
what do you mean? Like, you want me to pick somebody that I think is not as high as, like, not, is kind of overrated?
I phrased that question weirdly. Pick somebody that I
think. That's overrated and underrated?
That's a little bit overrated and underrated.
Let's go Notre Dame here. I mean, you beat USC by 3 at home. You're now the 8. You know, the independent conference, they don't have those tough conference games. That alone, I mean, it's tough to just crown this team a top 10 team when they don't have those nasty, gritty conference games. They haven't had such a convincing win. I think their best win was over, who am I thinking? They had Virginia. I mean,
and by the way, Virginia is dog shit, and we know that.
Virginia is not dog shit.
Miami.
Virginia, did you watch the game?
Yes, I watched the whole game.
Did you watch the game?
I watched the whole game. That turnover chain is so embarrassing considering how bad they are. Put it away until you start winning games. Imagine if the Knicks every time they got a block
three
put on the turnover chain.
3-3.
It's so crazy.
I like the touchdown rings.
Yeah, those are cool.
I think you gotta pump the brakes on the touchdown rings until we start winning games. So my pick for overrated, I guess, Notre Dame, still a really good team. And I've been calling for Wisconsin to get more recognition for weeks now. The Northwestern game did not sway me and make me feel a little uneasy about this team. I mean, they run the ball to perfection, and that defense is still really good. They are the six. I wouldn't be that upset if they had jumped Oklahoma. That's a bit of a hot take, but yeah. And by the way, just want to point it out, Vic and I were talking about it. You said Oregon's going down this week.
I didn't say they were losing.
You said it was going to be a tight game.
I said that it would be closer because, I mean, granted, Vic and I watched a very different Colorado team on the couch
ASU.
On one Saturday night. And I thought that ASU had a good defense. But by the way, I've been talking about Oregon the whole year, and their defense really looked very, very good.
And that place is so hard to play. I thought they were in like a high school field.
It's the way their stadium
they
is built.
They sit on top of the fans are on
it's
top
crazy.
Of the it, and it gets so loud. And you play those yellow highlighter jerseys, it's impossible.
I think we got to pump the brakes on Boise State. I get it, but being 14th after giving up 37 points to Hawaii can't like stop. What's the phrase?
Rainbow Warrior. Oh, can't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Can't stop a nosebleed. The Rainbow Warriors can't play defense. They have a quarterback
that
can play a little. So I get that they put up points, but on that Smurf turf is just they should not be 14. There's just no way that they should be that high. And then who do I think should be higher? Ooh, I don't know.
You don't know. Well, let me. I think the reason you're struggling, honestly, I am too. This back end of the top 25.
It's dog shit.
Well, it's not even dog shit.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
It doesn't really make sense.
Appalachian State?
Fuck you, because Appalachian State could play.
Right.
Okay.
No, here's my
Appalachian
problem.
State, year in, year out, they beat Michigan about 9 years ago, and we're still reliving that glory each and every Saturday.
In the Fun Belt Conference. You know, the reason you are struggling, and I am, because, look, you've Boise State at 6-8. Then they have Texas at 4-2, and we know Texas has lost by 7 to Oklahoma and LSU. So if you could ever have two losses, I mean, that's it. But then you're ahead of a 5-1 Michigan, a 5-1 Arizona State. You have three undefeated teams. The team that's too high for me is Baylor. I know they're 6-0, but the way that they almost blew that game to Texas Tech last week, it ended up going to overtime. They got their asses saved. It doesn't... They haven't played the big boys in the Big 12 yet.
By the way, Michigan did the same thing. I know that the score doesn't indicate that this was a completely blown game by Michigan.
Yeah, no, it got to 3 points.
It was 28-0.
And then
all of a sudden it was 28-25.
By the way, let's bump Michigan back. I mean, I'm done with these guys.
I think that's appropriate when you've Arizona State there. Baylor hasn't done... I mean, look, you've SMU at 6-0. You're in the Atlantic Athletic Conference there that is sort of on the rise.
That's
a
good game.
You got them. You got Cincinnati. You got Tulane, Memphis coming in the mix here. But for me, it's just I don't really understand why Baylor's ahead of SMU or why they're ahead of Minnesota. You know, that's really for me. I think a team that should be higher is definitely these Oregon Ducks. But it's tough for me to do that without moving Auburn ahead. So, I think for the most part they have it right. I just think I think the AP themselves is sort of
confused.
I wouldn't
have an issue with moving Oregon. I mean, Oregon did lose week one on a Hail Mary to Auburn, but Auburn did lose
way,
a couple weeks
ago. It wasn't a Hail Mary. I need to like clarify because you've said this like 3 weeks. It wasn't a Hail Mary, but
it was a 30-yard pass. We all watched it.
I know, but it was 21-20, and they were set up to kick the field goal, and they were just merely taking shots from 20 yards out in the end zone.
It's a shot. It's a Hail Mary. Bo Nix doesn't have
to
a
me,
big
Hail
arm.
Hail Mary defines like you're dead on the ropes. And you're sort of, Auburn, yes, it would have come down to a field goal, which we've all learned is anything but a certainty. So I think that's still probably your game of the year, Auburn, Oregon. So maybe that's
don't sleep on that Miami Virginia Tech game.
No, that was too. But in terms of these teams right now on paper, I think it's too hard to put everybody ahead of the other. I think you could make the Wisconsin argument for the swap, but then again, Oklahoma just beat Texas, who was ranked 11, and that carries a bit more weight.
Let's go into some Heisman talk. Who this week had the most impressive performance? What do you guys think?
I mean, I've been saying it week in, week out. It's Joe Burrow. This was the most convincing win. They've had some big ones thus far, but the way he spreads like the love. He shares the love. He's looking every which way. This team has the most high-powered offense in the FBS. And a year ago, we were saying Coach O is not an offensive mind. All he could do is coach defense. And this was against a really good Florida defense and a really good Florida team. So give both sides of that LSU team some credit. But Joe Burrow, 21 for 24?
Yeah,
the guy's insane. Crazy. 293, three touchdowns, and I didn't know he could run the ball, but he's showing a different side. I mean, 43 rushing yards, it's not Tua, it's
and
not
no,
Jalen
no
Hurts.
Picks.
No picks. I mean, he's incredibly efficient.
He's fantastic, and so I'm not going to pick him because you just gave everything there is about Joe Burrow. He definitely, to me, is Heisman frontrunner. I think Jalen Hurts took a real step back this week for me. He fumbled the ball way too much. Did he throw a pick in the end zone?
He threw a pick in the end zone, forcing it.
It's just he was too sloppy. And
gotta
with
pump the brakes on Oklahoma too.
I don't know if you have to pump the brakes on Oklahoma.
Defense
I just know
is
that
better, but.
That Joe Burrow is he has not made a mistake, and you now played probably I don't know a top three defense in the country. I'd say it's Florida, right?
Yeah, what they did to Miami was very convincing. Yeah, I agree. This Florida defense,
or maybe four
big boys. Yeah, that's a really good SEC defense. Yes.
Really, really good. And they
came to play. I mean, they did not roll over.
And 21 for 24 means that not only is he good, but he's smart. He listens to his coaches. He goes by the game plan. Like this is that doesn't happen by mistake.
What was
that means
the final
that you don't
there?
Force throws. They won by 14.
I mean, but, to score that many points on 24 throws from Joe Burrow, that's incredibly efficient. The running game is behind them.
Yeah, that
team is so exciting.
So exciting.
They are exciting.
Somebody else?
I mean, Tua throws his first pick. He ends up bouncing back and gets a touchdown there. It's funny that you see 21 of 34, almost 300 yards, four touchdowns, and like somehow I'm just not impressed because I want to see 400 yards and five touchdowns every week, and you can't get that. I think just it was the fact that that is the standard, I think, is so impressive to me now for Tua Tagovailoa. And you had, you know, the Redskins and the Dolphins playing in the Tua Bowl this weekend. I mean, anybody who gets this kid is going to be so freaking blessed. Just the fact that he's a lefty, I don't know. For me, it's just week in, week out, it's hard to not carry the other performances. So the fact that this
would
is
you
sort
crown
of
his, him Heisman, right? Like, who do you
I,
have
I,
a draft?
I think.
We can't hold it against him that Alabama has an unbelievable kick return game. Like, the reason why he didn't have 300 yards is because I think they started on the 50.
And they also got a block
every
punt,
drive.
They fumble six.
What's that kid's name?
Their special teams is always great. Is it Judy? Was it
Jerry?
No.
Jerry Judy's also in Heisman consideration.
No, he's not even the best wide receiver on the team anymore.
No, he is.
No, Judy is. What, you're saying Smith?
Judy's still the number amazing. One.
No, but Smith came out because they're like, oh,
I think
he's
scouts,
not getting enough love.
Scouts are saying Judy.
It's Judy?
Judy.
Judy.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
You said how Jalen Hurts took a step back. I've been behind Trevor Lawrence. That sounds good. I've been behind Trevor Lawrence all season. I mean, you know, I'm an ACC. Sunshine. I'm an ACC guy. But I looked at the box score after the game. Three different guys threw the ball. And another, maybe they threw in the backup. I mean, this isn't impressive. 17 to 25, 170 yards, three scores. And what is he?
He's a project. He's massive.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the NFL. He's probably going to be the first pick.
Next year,
because he's 6'7". He kind of looks like
He looks like Sunshine from...
Remember the Titans.
We
are Marshall. Get the hell
no,
out of here.
No, I was going to say, We Are the Titans.
Oh, you were going to combine the two movies.
Yep.
He's an accomplished movie. Daniel Jones.
Oh, my goodness.
No, seriously.
Oh my goodness.
No, he's great.
You don't think
he's great. I'm just not impressed.
What is the Daniel Jones guy? You didn't even know who Daniel Jones was.
You're sick.
I didn't know
you're
Daniel
sick.
Jones.
I'm saying, were you watching him at Duke? Was he a Heisman?
I watched him at Duke.
No, but the
not
truth
impressive.
Is, look, he's now plus 7,000. Trevor Lawrence is plus 7,000 to win a Heisman, and that's simply because the numbers aren't there.
They don't
he's
play enough good opponents, is what
that,
I'll tell you.
That is a factor, but he's thrown a few too many picks. The yardage isn't there, and that's why Tua and Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow are right there, and it is going to come down, and I give this proviso every week.
I love that word.
A lot of the times, it's how well your team does. And if Oklahoma somehow runs the table and goes undefeated,
I think
it would be insanely hard.
Question for you. Is this quarterback class, I know they're going to go to the NFL at different times, but this year's cream of the crop in quarterbacks, is this better than the Baker, Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen?
It's different, and it's because all these guys are so mobile and able to run. Besides, I don't think Burrow runs as much, but you've got Herbert, you've got Lawrence.
Some rules.
No, I think all these guys are incredible, incredible college quarterbacks.
These are athletes, more so than those guys.
It's going to be tough for them to fit into certain pro systems. I think the height plays a factor, but all these guys are something different. Like, Tua is a lefty. Joe Burrow is just so damn efficient. You know, I don't know how that really translates. You know, but if I had to lay my money on someone, if you believe in LSU beating Alabama, then I say you bet on Joe Burrow. If you think that there's no chance,
that's what I was
going to
say.
With Tua.
They're going to.
It's going to come down to that.
Yeah, but him winning in Alabama is obviously, if he wins that game, he's Heisman.
He could lose and still win the Heisman.
But that was my question. Oklahoma is not facing nearly the same caliber of teams down the stretch. And if you have a one-loss LSU team and Joe Burrow and a undefeated Oklahoma team.
Are we talking playoff
Hurts.
Or Heisman?
No, I'm talking Heisman, because I think that it does.
It ends up coupling together, only
right?
Because of this discussion, but no, I agree. And it's so
I'm
hard.
Saying, who do you give that nod to
right.
if you have an undefeated Jalen Hurts?
To me, it's Burrow.
But then again,
even if they get blown out by Alabama.
But that's completely different.
Right.
Is he putting up a dud and throwing interceptions?
Let's say he puts up a dud against Alabama.
So then I don't, it's a whole body of work, and when you go into the Lions then and you shit the bed, and Jalen Hurts is consistent. Yeah, he wasn't his usual spectacular self, but
I mean, if
he consistently does this against decent opponents, yeah, he's going
to
get
it's,
it.
To
and
me, it's always the 120-something rushing yards week in and week, like, I don't know what.
I think they're
going to
lose. I don't think they're going undefeated, so
who?
I'm looking. I don't
Oklahoma.
Think Oklahoma.
You think Oklahoma's
I'm
losing?
Not convinced. Well, but who?
But West Virginia, Kansas State, Snakes, Iowa State, Snakes. Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State.
Don't sleep on Baylor. Yeah. Don't sleep on is Iowa
Oklahoma
State in
State.
Iowa State?
No.
It's at home?
Yes.
Where's Baylor?
In Baylor.
Ooh, game of the week. When is
11,
that?
11-16. That's a nice game.
And then you've got Bedlam.
That's like
at
a
Oklahoma
Friday.
State
that's like, is that a Wednesday?
I was going to say, you guys both just said that you thought that Baylor was too high in the AP 25, but
it's
now
still,
they're scary.
It's still going to be
still
a tough game.
Yeah.
Baylor?
I'm sure that Oklahoma is at least a 10-point favorite in that game.
We'll wait.
We'll
11-16.
We'll wait and get there. I just, Tua's numbers are just astronomical.
Yeah, he's incredible. He really is.
But we're talking Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, no, but we can say.
I think that's what makes it so tough. I think even if you get to these conversations where, yeah, Oklahoma ran the table, yeah, LSU's a one-loss team. Like, what if Alabama's a one-loss team? They only lost to
LSU.
LSU and, like,
Joe
Tua
Burrow.
Is still throwing 400 yards.
Joe Burrow.
It's going to be very tough for the are they the Academy this year? I don't know who they are. Whoever picks the Heisman, it's going to be a really hard decision.
Week 8 spread pick 'em. Let's jump into it. My boys, the Oregon Ducks.
You're back on it.
Of course. By the way, I was always on them.
You were a little down on them.
All right, because they squeaked out a game over a bad Cal team, and I just didn't like what I saw.
Cal was 15 then.
Yeah. By the way, and Boise State's 14 with the Smurf turf. I've had enough of these.
Them and App State. I'm all over it.
I don't know how App State's in there.
Well, you beat Louisiana 17-7.
Yeah, thank God. Oregon number 12 at Washington. Number 25, Oregon is a 3-point favorite in Washington. Who wants to snag this first?
This is a really good game. And Washington is a tough place to play. It's always tough to play up in the Pacific Northwest. Good thing for Oregon. They, too, are in the Pacific Northwest. I like Oregon.
To cover. Cool. Vic.
Yeah, I desperately want to pick the Huskies because you've got the home dog factor. And I think they recognize how big of a game this is for them, and this is sort of their season. They were just out of, in case anybody like fell asleep this weekend, they were out of the top 25. They're now squeaked back into, they are 25th. They're 5-2. Oregon's 5-1. You know,
they killed Arizona in Arizona.
And you win this game, you're on the inside track. I haven't
Kevin Sumlin and the boys.
I
don't know who's more overrated, Kevin Sumlin or Jimbo Fisher. They just went to new teams and just suck. Like, I'm happy that they had good players.
Jimbo was given literally the keys to the state.
It's unbelievable. And, like, whatever. Sorry, Vic.
No. Do what you got to do. to me, it is that Oregon's defense has really showed up, whereas Washington has let up 27 points to Arizona you know, 14 points to USC, which is a little low, but still Hawaii, 20 points. They're giving up just a few too many for me. I think Herbert's going to come in, silence the crowd in Washington, and the Ducks take this one by a touchdown.
I think so, too, but Vegas is such a motherfucker.
And it's open at 3.5, so why, I don't know what
I was
going
to say, why is this spread 3 points?
Because it's on the road.
It feels like Oregon should be at least a 6.5, 7-point favorite. And whenever a spread is too good to be true, it ends up being that the other team wins. So
do it. Do it.
I'm taking the Huskies.
Bail on the Ducks.
Home dog.
No, I think that the Ducks are great. I think Vegas just knows something. Maybe Herbert goes out in the first quarter. Maybe some guy runs on the field,
tackles him. They've had him in Oregon.
There's a mole. There's something going on there.
He's
going
to tackle Justin Herbert in the first quarter.
That spread is so weird. I don't know. I think the Huskies plus 3. Maybe Oregon can squeak out the win, but I'll take the points with the Huskies. Number 17, Arizona State. At number 13, Utah. Wow, that's a spread. Utah's minus 13.5.
Big weekend in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
We got to get out west.
I get that Utah just, who'd they just run over?
Oregon State, who is nobody.
Yeah, so, I mean.
The Beavers.
The Beavers.
As I say, I always say I'll steal it. I'll just take this one.
Grab it. Grab it.
Herm Edwards and the boys. Plus 13.5. I don't even think that you think twice about this one. I think that their defense is really good. I think Utah has a good defense, but I expect this to be a lower scoring game than some might expect, and that at worst, Arizona State loses by a touchdown.
To me, it's the Utah defense, and I don't think, as you said, it's not going to be that high of a scoring game, and so I just don't think there will be an opportunity to cover. I think it's going to be really low scoring. Herm's a big defensive guy, but it's going to be this Utah defense. I still think they win by double digits, but I think 13.5 is a lot.
So you're on the I'm
on the Arizona State train.
My issue here in deciding between whether you think a team's going to lose by 14 or 10, they haven't really played a good defense, Arizona State, and I think some of these games have been such a this grinded out type. You had the start off with Michigan State, then they somehow lost to Colorado. And they win at Cal. They barely beat Washington State last week on a back and forth battle. I just don't think they will have seen a defense like this. Mm-hmm. I can't see the Utes giving up more than 7 or 10 points in Salt Lake City. I think Utah covers this one.
Sorry, I was just thinking of one thing. The other thing, not to get too deep into the spreads, but minus 13.5 feels like they're baiting you to try and take Utah. If it was 14 or 14
it's the
and a
same
half.
Logic as the last pick.
You know
it's
what I mean?
It's too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. Yeah, just I'm sticking with Arizona State.
All right.
Number 16, Michigan. Wow. What games? Holy smokes. This is a slate.
I know, but it's wild. The last two games we have on our list. Because those are stinkers. We might not even get to them.
No, this they is definitely a marquee matchup.
Johnny, I hate to throw this on you, but those are absolute dog shit.
We don't even know Michigan's playing.
We'll get to them. Yeah, it's number 16, Michigan, at number 7, Penn State.
Ooh.
Battle of the 5-1, 6-0s. 7:30 game. Penn State is a 9-point favorite at home. Clifford and the boys. Vic, you staying on that Michigan train? You got Michigan. You got the Browns. You got Baker. Baker Mayfield's the worst quarterback in the history of the league, by the way.
I actually, I will save those comments for the Schwitz on Thursday. But
NFL Schwitz.
NFL Schwitz brought to you by Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland faithful.
You
know, if you've actually listened to me, if you've actually listened to my analyses the past several weeks, my thing has been, where's Harbaugh in these big games? Where is Harbaugh in these big games?
Coaching.
You didn't see it against Wisconsin. That's for damn certain. And you're not going to see it Saturday night. You may be looking at like a 26-7 Penn State absolute dominating performance. I need to see it from Harbaugh, and I need to see it on the road. You know, yeah, you beat Rutgers by 52-0. I don't really care about that. The Illinois thing scares the crap out of me if I'm Michigan and going into Happy Valley on a Saturday night. Ooh, baby. You
won't be that happy.
You better be ready. It won't be happy for Michigan. I have Penn State minus 9.
I agree. I think Franklin's going to have his team ready, and the crowd, you know it's going to be a whiteout. I mean, it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to watch this, but I can't imagine Penn State not covering. They've been so explosive on offense. And honestly, Michigan, solid, but they're just an obstacle in Penn State's way right now. I think it's going to be Penn State and Wisconsin duking it out. And that's a little shade at Ohio State. But I need to see Ohio State.
Well, there's also two.
What do you need to see from Ohio State?
No, I know. But Penn State is in the other one with Michigan and Ohio State.
I don't know what you need to see with Ohio State, but
it's those three teams in my eyes. Let's leave it at that. And fine. I don't think Michigan is there. I think Penn State covers. And I'm excited to see what Clifford dials up.
I think the odds makers learned their mistake when they had Wisconsin -3.5 at home to Michigan, and that was an absolute slaughter. That's why this is sitting at 9, which seems like just so many points. Like, how, in a game that's so important to Michigan, are they getting 9 points?
Michigan can't score.
They can't score, and I don't think that they're going to score. I think that Penn State wins something like 28-10. That's the type of game that I see out of this.
You can't put up 10, you can't put up 10 against Iowa and then think your offense could keep up with Penn State at home.
I completely agree.
Under the lights.
On to a couple of duds, my God.
Well, these won't be any duds if you're familiar with the
the Owls.
The Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Temple, unranked, at number 19, SMU. SMU is a 7.5-point favorite. I'll steal this one. I'm on SMU. Temple seems to only be able to do good things at home. I've watched a couple of games this year. The Owls are a great home team. Beat Maryland at home. Beat, what was it this past week? Memphis at home.
That was a big win.
A big win, but they're very, very different when they go away from where? Are they Pennsylvania?
They're a borough of Philly.
They're just outside Philly.
They love being just outside Philly.
Yeah, so they're far away from Philly this week.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Mustang territory, and I like the Mustangs to win this by at least 10 points.
Yeah, you're right about that factor. I think that the Memphis win was such a grinded out. It was a very uplifting victory for them. It was a big game. You know, Memphis was 5-0 at the time when they played them. I just think, the Mustangs are going to have too much firepower. Gerald Ford Stadium, they're going to win this one by 2 touchdowns. Jack, what do you think?
I really want to take the Owls here. They don't turn over the ball a lot.
Is that a good owl?
It's a worried owl. It's a grandmother owl. I agree. They're just too far from home. They're like a boy that's lost his way. I think SMU takes care of business, but I think it's closer than we think. But 7.5, SMU.
Last game here that I want to talk about, Baylor, number 18, at Oklahoma State. You want to talk about a weird line. Baylor is 6-0. Oklahoma State is a 3.5-point favorite.
It's the offense.
At home.
So explosive.
Thoughts on this game?
I'll give you some thoughts. Oklahoma State started out this year kind of hot. They lost a close one to Texas. And we've seen Texas is, the fact that Texas is a number-ranked 15 team, 4-2, just goes to show you how tough an opponent they are. This game being in Stillwater, Oklahoma State, you got the mullet going. On the sidelines over there. He's a man. He's 40. Give me the Cowboys.
Is he still there?
Yeah.
Mike Gundy.
Give me the Cowboys in this one.
He must be 50
and
at this
Baylor,
time.
I think, will just be totally knocked out of the top 25 after this.
Wow, we've been all over the map with this, man.
I was just about to say, before you go again, I just need to be clear here. So you think that they're going to be knocked out of the map, they don't stand a chance against Oklahoma State, but then are going to upset Oklahoma. Where are you with Baylor?
Battle of Stillwater.
First of all, I never said they were going to upset Oklahoma. I said anytime you have a road game as the season progresses on in a tough environment, sure, that will happen. This is Oklahoma State. They've got great fans in Stillwater. This is the
reason. You just love the town
love
of Stillwater.
No, he loves the orange brown. It's that orange brown.
I'll put it to you this way. At 4 p.m., you can catch me at Stillwater. It's a bar, I think, on 4th Street between 2nd and 3rd. Oklahoma State bar.
Is that a pinky promise?
Maybe.
All right, well, Vic will be there. He'll probably be alone in like a weird shade of brown.
He's renting it out. It's just him.
I like the Cowboys also. Their only two losses were on the road. As you said, really tough place to play in Texas. And last week or 2 weeks ago, they lost to Texas Tech in Texas Tech. I think now they're home. This is a huge game against a ranked Baylor team, and I think they beat them. Do they cover 3.5? Sure, why not? Gundy.
I'll take Oklahoma State, too. This is a Cowboys sweep. If a spread smells like shit, it's because it's shit. You have a 6-0 team against a 4-2 team.
That's my I told you I stepped.
Yeah, see, you step in shit. No, but seriously, just 3.5, that hook, they're begging you. Baylor, 6-0, only lose by a field goal. They are begging you. And I think Oklahoma wins by 7.
Stillwater, here we come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really, really crazy game. Crazy slate this week. Anything before we wrap up? Anything you guys want to? Anything on your mind? No. This is your chance.
Just get me to the Yankees already.
Snacks and dinner.
Snacks, dinner. Mm. I need the Yankees ready. This day off's killing me.
Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Follow us at The Schwitz on Instagram. Request to join our private Facebook group called The Schwitzers. Fantastic community over there. Great, great people. If you want to join, press request. We'll accept you. I think it's maybe like a week limit, right? I mean,
it takes about a week. Community. Is that what it is? Submit your resume.
We're really behind on applications.
It's
right
like
now.
A small speakeasy. Are you familiar with Soho House? It's pretty similar to that. We'll get back to you in about 6 months. But click the request and
for a small fee of $1,200, you get a 12-month access to.
But yeah, join please and have a great weekend. Week? Which one is it?
Have a great week.
What day is it?
It's Tuesday.
Where are we?
It's Tuesday morning, Ben.
Have a great week.